Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of The Doctor Is In. I am your host, Paul Verhoeven. How are you all doing today? It is just so wonderful to be back. Now, as many of you may notice, your podcast feed has a little bit of a teaser on there. I have released my very first full-length Big Finish story. It is called The Green Man, and it's part of the second Doctor Adventures James Robert McCrimmon box set, which is out right now. And loath as I am to plug things, it seems thematically on point, because back when the third Doctor box set, The Annihilators, came out through Big Finish, it was a really great release. I was very excited. And I actually had the pleasure of talking to Tim Treloar, who plays the third Doctor. He's your brand new third Doctor. He's the third Doctor, as far as I'm concerned, and he's doing amazing work. And Big Finish had me on the phone with him, had a bit of a chat, uploaded the episode, and it never came up. Until now. It literally just popped back up in my feed and said, hey, this episode never went up live. It was pretty much just a tech problem, just an upload problem. But in true Doctor Who fashion, the Doctor sometimes arrives very, very late. So please enjoy this fireside chat, fire not included, with the wonderful third Doctor himself, Tim Treloar.
Tim, thank you so much for chatting with me today.
Thank you for having me.
Oh, what an absolute pleasure. I've been listening to a lot of your work lately, and I must say, you do an absolutely sterling job. It's amazing how fast the human brain just replaces one person with another, and you've really inhabited the role beautifully. But as an actor, is that an onerous task, having to inhabit someone else's shoes? And they're big, frilly shoes as well.
They're massive shoes. Yes. Well, I've never done that before. I don't think or since. Mr. Pertwee is the only person I currently am inhabiting, if you will. I've played Richard Burton on radio once, or someone pretending to be Richard Burton, actually. So not quite the same thing. But yes, this is the first time I've done this. So, and they are, as you said, massive shoes.
Where do you start? Do you start with parody and then wind it back a little bit?
Yeah, I guess so. Well, I guess so. One of I jokingly say in conventions that my way of getting into John Pertwee's voice is by imitating Wurzel Gummidge. I get a couple of frowns initially, but then they realize I'm joking. But yeah, I guess it's like it's when you try to do accents, there are sometimes key phrases that you go to in order to start getting them in. And so yeah, but it's refreshing myself through watching Doctor Who episodes, to be honest. The Demons is the one I'm currently in love with, that I refer to when I'm about to do an audio.
Right.
So yeah, it's usually watching and then watching again for the mannerisms and the any vocal tics that he had. For instance, his sibilant S, that was quite a thick S he had, and his very, very staccatoed form of speech.
You don't chuck on velvet jackets to kind of, you know, add a little bit of flair in the studio?
I've donned the odd white bouffant wig. Right. And yes, I haven't got a velvet jacket at the moment. I must get one. And a cape as well.
Yeah, they don't breathe much. He doesn't wear much breathable running fabric.
It's all very tight. Well, I love the style, actually. It's very 60s. Which I'm a big fan of the 60s and that type of clothing. And he always cuts a dashing figure.
It's a wild aesthetic. I mean, the fact that he stole his first outfit from an opera singer was it a surgeon or an opera singer? Remember in the
Renaissance?
Because he hasn't decided on his look yet, and he's at the hospital because his brain's not working properly. Oh, and he just wanders into the change room, and there's some sort of, I don't remember the specifics, but I think he's either an opera singer or a famous Italian surgeon, and he just grabs his digs, and that's his look.
Yeah. Well, there we are. And a great look it is.
What's your look on a day-to-day basis? Do you have a signature?
Well, normally it's just t-shirt and jeans. I'm pretty scruffy, which is really bad because I sort of I've always loved the mod fashion, which is very sort of cut suits and sort of cut in clothes and very, very detailed fabric and accessories. And yeah, I'm a very lazy mod, I think, on my Twitter handle. Normally I'm much more comfortable lounging about in jeans and t-shirt, which my mother is always going about.
I guess that's sort of a bonus as far as audio is concerned, because you are, you know, you're not on camera. You get to kind of bounce around a studio or a home studio. I mean, what is your typical approach to inhabiting a character? And I ask this of a lot of Big Finish talent, and they all have different sort of techniques. Pete Davidson will be sitting inside a little closet. Some people get up and pace around. Sylvester McCoy like inhabits the character physically. What is the difference for you between hopping into a studio and doing a role like the Doctor, or being on stage or being on screen? Like, how do you bring character to the fore?
Well, it's different with the Third Doctor. In the studio, I've always been in the studio for the Third Doctor. I haven't done it from home. Physically, I try to. I mean, Katie, when I'm working with her, will sometimes give me the physical gestures for a particular line. She'll say, "Do this for this particular line." So it might be the hands on hips, or it might be the finger under the chin, or it might be the hand rubbing the back of the neck, according to a particular line. But inhabiting the characters, usually, I mean, I work a lot in theatre. I'm currently working at the Royal Shakespeare Company. I'm up in Stratford at the moment, Stratford-upon-Avon, hence the Tudor beams behind me. The digs I'm staying in is, I think, about 16th century. So on stage, you've usually got a few weeks rehearsal to work on a character and flesh out a character. With TV, it's a bit different because they're looking mainly at the face. I think it's just part of the actor's toolbox. It's the same as learning your lines. It's a muscle. So inhabiting the character involves looking into his background, his backstory, maybe any physical qualities that they have that are attributed in the script, or inventing some. It's a hard question to answer, actually. I'm talking myself into a circle here. Inhabiting the character, I don't know. I mean, usually it's say the lines of "don't bump into the furniture"
Do the damn job. But in this case, you've got a companion, an ex-companion of the Doctor in question in the room with you. I mean, is that a bit like walking around in someone else's pajamas? Is that as like a strange sense? What does that feel like for you?
Well, initially it was terrifying when I first went to the studio. There's Katie and Richard Franklin, but they have been lovely. I mean, sadly, I haven't worked with Richard much, but I've worked with Katie a lot. And she has been such a support and a fantastic person to work with, a joy and a ball of energy, as you probably know. And she has been so supportive and helpful and given me stories and anecdotes about him. And they've all helped to... They've helped me with the character. So that goes back to your last question about inhabiting the character. Someone like Katie has tremendously helped me with that, just by talking to me about John and why he spoke so fast and why he did this and why he did that. And that it sort of then triggers things off in my brain to go, yes, that's the key into that particular thing. But Katie's lovely. She's absolutely wonderful.
Was John your doctor growing up?
Tom Baker was.
Right.
Tom Baker. And I couldn't understand. And that's the reason I think I stopped watching Doctor Who when Tom went, because I didn't know about the whole regeneration thing. So when suddenly he's lying on the floor and turns into Peter Davison, my head just exploded. I couldn't work it out. So then when I turned on next week expecting to see Tom and Peter was on there, but this is not Doctor Who now. You know, I didn't understand the whole regeneration thing. So sadly, I stopped watching at that point. But no, Tom is always my doctor, and he still is. And he's the first doctor I've worked with on audio. And K-9 has always been my favorite Doctor Who character.
Really? That's a controversial choice.
It is a controversial choice. John Leeson doesn't think so, but I used to love K-9. I used to be so excited when K-9 would come on.
Oh, who doesn't want a robot dog with a laser in its nose?
Want a robot dog. Exactly.
Coolest thing in the world. Oh, God. And plus, everyone loves dogs, so why not just chuck a laser in it?
Exactly.
Yeah, doesn't work with real dogs. I've tried. It just doesn't go down well.
You can't attach
it. I'm so... Oh, yeah. I'm... I'm very interested to know that you struggle with the notion of regeneration and with somebody else inhabiting a character that you loved when that's exactly what you're doing right now.
I know.
I mean, are you enjoying the process? I have to ask, is it a lot of fun?
Oh, it's huge fun. Working with Big Finish is great anyway. They're such a lovely, warm, welcoming family, I should call them. Working with Nick Briggs, who produces the Third Doctor series, is a joy. And also being the Third Doctor means that Nick and I can create the culture in the studio. And it's always very friendly. It's always very irreverent. There's a lot of laughter. There's no sort of serious, high-minded sort of any sort of politic talk. We shut down quite quickly, and we just have fun. It's just a joy to be in. But obviously, then we take the work very seriously as well. But it's just all I can think about when I go into the Big Finish studio is laughter, and I'm going to have a laugh that day, and it's going to be fun. Oh. It's a wonderful element to work in. Yeah, and that's what you want as an actor. You want to be able to play.
Oh, 100%. I mean, I was listening to The Annihilators recently, and good God, as far as multi-doctor stories go, it just everyone was bringing their A game. And I was sitting there going, look, on the one hand, this feels like prestige TV. And on the other hand, you can do goofy shit, pardon my French, that you can't really do on TV.
Well, that's right.
You know, listening to people melt is so
different.
Because everything back in the day was shot in a quarry or in the corner of a room or made of papier mache. But this sounds and feels so much like classic Doctor Who. How do you infuse it with the sensibilities of modern storytelling and modern like character work?
Well, basically, like you said, you have so much fun just I mean, someone melting, how do you do that on audio? But also, if you watch that on TV, someone melting, or on film, that would be a moment of horror. It would be probably something you wouldn't forget in a hurry. But if you can do it in audio, you can add that level of sort of camp hilarity to it, because there's so much campness in particularly the Third Doctor stories, and a joyful sort of exuberance. So there is there's a tongue-in-cheek element to it too. And I think the listeners want that. There's a slight, because it's set in the 70s, which is a decade now, we're all quite sort of tight-lipped about for various reasons. It's great to be able to not send it up, but to give a heightened quality to it. Mm. So I think it's about sort of committing to the notion of someone melting, for instance, but at the same time realizing the ridiculous notion of it.
You know? That idea of committing to the notion of somebody melting.
You can't do it half-heartedly. It's got to be completely truthful, completely real.
Oh, I know. The only time Doctor Who falls flat on its face is when someone clearly thinks they're too cool for the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Right? Totally.
You've got to buy in. It has to be the most important thing in the world in that moment.
It's got to be. It has to be. And it absolutely is. But at the same time, because if in a scenario where someone melted, people then won't be able to go, anyway, poor chap, let's get on with this. You know, it will be probably a couple of weeks of therapy, surely. At the very
end. But the Briggs just said, poor devil. And then scene change. That's it.
Poor devil,
poor dispensable unit. I would never join unit. You guarantee.
Oh, no. You've got life expectancy of 6. But then again, the Briggs is a soldier. So I suppose he's used to it.
Speaking of which, the interactions between you and he have been scintillating. It feels like, it just feels like the real thing. It feels so fresh and new. I mean, as a duo, you are inhabiting beloved characters and having to not just create your own juice, right, and get your own kind of Third Doctor engine going, but also feed him. How's that interaction been? How's that dynamic been?
Well, I've been so fortunate to work with someone like John Coleshaw, who's an absolute genius and is recognised as probably our greatest impressionist here, and as well as being a really fine actor. And working with him is a joy. Again, we're always laughing in the studio. We're about the same age, John and I, and so we've got a lot of similar reference points in culture to pull from. But we have such great fun, and that I'm surprised, you know, as well as saying that working with Katie for the first time was quite terrifying. So I was working with John, because he is an actual professional impressionist. So, but he's just a lovely man. He's exactly how he comes across. As he's just a gentle, warm, very funny man. So we have a lot of fun and we can play off each other and we trust each other in the studio.
Where do you want the third Doctor to go next? And I say that acknowledging the fact that you are the third Doctor now. You are the new third Doctor. Where do you want to... What do you, well, no, you are. Come on. No, like, where do you want to take this character next? And are there any rumblings on the horizon? Any little scoops that you can kind of imply? I mean, what do you want to do with the character?
I can't. I'll be immediately shot at dawn. But do you know what? Every story is exciting for me. But going back to an early question, I'd love him to meet K-9 somehow. I don't know how. I mean, I don't know if he can. I don't think he can he? This is Doctor Who. You can do anything.
Yeah. No, that's true.
You can do anything. That's another joy of it. You can't actually do anything because of the regeneration thing, because of going forward and backward in time. And I think you could do anything with Doctor Who, can't you? But I did I loved working with the Cybermen. That was a massive joy because as a kid, they were the ones that scared me the most. Mm. Because at the time, when I was watching it, they were silent. They were terrifying.
Do you think that was just a way of getting around paying the actors full
fee? Yeah, probably. More than likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't. Whereas you get, you know, you're paid per word, baby. I don't know.
Well, I wish. That'd be nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah. They just suddenly there's no more monologues.
Well, exactly.
I'm so excited to see what your Doctor does next. It's been so nice to not have to worry about there being missing chunks in the canon and just go, oh no, there's a third Doctor around and he's great. Just personally, I've really enjoyed your work on this and it's such a treat to actually talk to you in person and to say thank you.
It's very kind of you. Thank you, Paul.
I am very kind.
You're very kind of you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.